Radio.
Adoration and Evangelization. How the Eucharist is key to spreading the gospel. An interview with Kathy Kennedy. So I'm joined today by Kathy Kennedy, who's the director of Credo, which sounds a lot like Credio, and they were both set up by Archbishop Julian Porteous. So we have a lot in common. We're kind of like brother and sister in the work of evangelization.
That's right.
So thank you for joining me, Kathy.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Luke. It's wonderful to be able to talk to you.
Now, of course, your role as director of Credo, you're all about evangelization and renewal in the Archdiocese of Sydney.
Now, yes, you know, just a little bit, not a huge task by any means.
No. So what I wanted to talk to you about today was actually something that might not come to mind for a lot of people when they think of evangelization. I mean, typically when you think of evangelization, you think of, you know, a priest on a pulpit or people going out there on the street or setting up, you know, youth events, World Youth Day, that kind of thing. But the role of the Eucharist and adoration. Now, I know that that actually does have a lot to do with evangelization. The church has spoken about that. But I wanted to speak to you specifically in your role and in your experience in your life. How does the Eucharist and Eucharistic adoration connect really well with the work of evangelization?
Okay, so let me start with a couple of reflections of myself. You know, just this morning I was reading morning prayer and there was a lovely section in a psalm talking about Zion as mother. And, you know, we always understand Zion as to mean the church, you know, and I often hear that word, you know, mother church, and I think, oh, that sounds very institutional. But interestingly, church, when you think about motherhood, motherhood's anything but institutional. It's really down to earth, life-bearing, life-giving, you know, feeding and clothing and nurturing and bringing to maturity. You know, it's messy. It's right in there. It's right in the real guts of life. And I think that's what we know to mean as Mother Church. And when we think about that metaphor for the church, it brings us right back to Christ on the cross, you know, and that sense of the blood and water flowing from his side, in a sense, him giving birth as well there on the cross. And on Good Friday, there's this marvellous catechesis of St. John Chrysostom that's always in the Office of Readings. And he says, think about the incredible food given to his children by Jesus, those he brought to life, to give us life. Of course, referring to the Eucharist, his own body and blood. And it even makes a comparison between that which a mother does, feeding a child from her own milk, as to what Jesus does by feeding us with his own body and blood. Now, why do I talk about that? Because evangelization is really about giving birth, about bringing new disciples, you know, bringing life for people, you know, bringing them to Christ and bringing them to life. So it really is about this mothering. And in a sense, the Eucharist, therefore, is completely caught up in that because it is the food that we're given for us to grow in our life and in Christ. And you know, Pope Francis spoke recently in Evangelii Gaudium, The Joy of the Gospel, his recent exhortation that he wrote. He talked about the importance of proclaiming the kerygma, which is the basic gospel message that Jesus Christ came to save us, that he loves us, you know. And in fact, he sums it up by saying this: Jesus Christ loves you. He gave his life to save you. And now he is living at your side every day to enlighten, strengthen, and free you. And I think, in a sense, if you think about the Eucharist, it makes Christ truly present, the same Christ who gave his body and blood for us, who died for us. He's there present. So in a sense, the Eucharist is the kerygma made present. It's the greatest proclamation of the kerygma that there is. In the Eucharist, we hear those words, Jesus Christ loves you. He gave his life to save you. And now he is living at your side every day to enlighten, strengthen, and free you. So that sense of the Eucharist being at the very heart of our mission shouldn't be a surprise to us, because it is at the very heart of our faith, our source and summit. And in a sense, you can see how Eucharistic adoration flows from from the celebration of the Eucharist, and if we understand that sense of now he is living at your side every day to enlighten, strengthen, and free you, you can see that spending time before the Blessed Sacrament helps us only to understand more and more how Christ is present for us. You know, so it obviously, just in its very nature, the Eucharist should be at the very heart of what we do. So in terms of being a little bit practical now, I can tell you from practical experience that the Eucharist really does figure very, very much in what we do in evangelization. And it's interesting that there seems to be just a power, a grace, of course, available when we do use it. You know, we run parish missions, and during our parish missions, we do encourage the parish to spend time in Eucharistic adoration for a few reasons. The first one is that it's time when people then, it gives people permission to stop and be still and just waste time with the Lord. And in this day and age, I think that's incredibly important. The other thing that it does is that we also encourage them to see it as a way to intercede, to pray for others and for the success of the mission. And it does seem to really bring another dimension to what we do. We also use the Eucharist, obviously, through our masses and through very much so as at the very centre of what we do in our parish missions, but also Eucharistic adoration as a form of outreach. Always on during our parish missions, we have a night called a Night of Mercy. Now, these Nights of Mercy began in Europe, and we've just taken it on because it works. And the idea is that on these nights we invite people to come to the Lord and experience his love and mercy through A, Eucharistic adoration, and B, through the sacrament of confession. And it's a very gentle time. We animate it with very reverent but contemporary kind of music. And it's just always, we're told, it's the highlight of our event. Interestingly, there seems to be a real uptake of Eucharistic adoration amongst young people. You've probably experienced this yourself, Luke, have you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. We've noticed this in many places. And I think there's something about Eucharistic adoration that can be very real and makes our Lord accessible. And as I said before, it gives people permission to stop and be still. And I think that is a revelation for people today. Silence is a revelation. Mm-hmm. And I think it encourages prayer of listening, prayer of availability, in a sense that idea of just being with the Lord, wasting time with the Lord. And there's so much that comes from that. You know, I try to keep up with what's happening around there out there in the whole wide world in evangelization. And of course, you just can't. But some of the things that I've noticed is that in parishes where they're really moving forward with a real mission center, that they're evangelizing and growing, there are two things that are always at the heart of it: vibrant celebrations of the Mass, of the Eucharist, and also Eucharistic adoration. And interestingly too, in many places where vocations are growing, there's often Eucharistic adoration. You know, so there's something that goes on in that time. And I do think the secret is that sense of being able to just be with the Lord. I tell children that Eucharistic adoration, it's a little bit like sun baking, you know, just allowing yourself to sit with the sun. But I tell them it's God baking. So instead of just soaking up the rays, you're soaking up God's love and just being in his presence there like that. And I think that does something to us. I've also heard in my time of two stories of people who have walked into churches where there's been our Lord exposed and people praying before him, who have had instantaneous conversions because of that experience, which is quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
You know, so There is a grace available to us. It's obvious in a sense, I guess, but it is good to remind ourselves of all of these marvelous gifts that the Lord has given us.
Now, I think a typical objection that one would hear to Eucharistic adoration being connected with evangelization is the idea that, well, you know, if you're spending all day inside the church praying, then, you know, what's actually coming out of it? You know, you could be spending that time going out there and proclaiming, you know, like the apostles did. You know, that's yeah. the kind of objection you might hear. What do you have to say to that?
Okay. Well, to start with, if we go out without prayer, then we might as well be a gong booming or a cymbal clashing. If we're not completely rooted in the love of Christ first before we go out, then we will make no difference. Whenever we send people out ourselves during our parish missions, we also make sure that we have people back in our church praying before the Eucharist for them. So that it's not so much that we should do one without the other, it's more that the two go together. They go hand in hand. They're intimately connected. And I would say, you know, no, an evangelizer will not be able to evangelize without prayer. Because, of course, the real work of evangelization comes from the Holy Spirit. He is the principal agent. And we just try to be his instrument. And so, of course, any way that we can connect to grace is only going to assist that. So I would say it's not a case of either or, it's a case of and.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, even someone as, you know, such a great evangelizer as someone like Pope Francis at the moment, you know, he spends an hour of adoration each day, which I think is a good sign.
That's right. And can't you just see what an instrument he is of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit uses him all the time? And that's because he's so connected to our Lord. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah. Now, of course, coming up, we have a very, I guess, obvious connection between the work of evangelization and the Eucharist, and that is the Walk with Christ this weekend. I mean, that's quite obviously taking adoration in the Eucharist and bringing our Lord out into the streets. Do you mind giving me a few words about that?
Yes, you know, it's a funny thing. When I first found out that one of the things that the Evangelization Office did quite some years ago was to do a Eucharistic procession, I thought, oh, how odd. But now, because I didn't see how that could be evangelization. But my eyes have been completely opened, you know, because every year what I get to do, my privilege, is to organise a team of people who are called the evangelisation team. So during the procession, we walk the edges of the procession and we get to speak to and to engage with all of the people who are watching. And just to see the reactions that the procession has on the immediate reactions on those people is quite extraordinary. You know, some who perhaps are Catholic in terms of their origin, but perhaps are no longer practicing, who are really moved and say, oh, this reminds me of my childhood. I haven't been to church in a long time. You know, starts to make them think about all of those things and why they're important. You know, and then there's those who just have no idea what's going on, but are so taken with it. You know, some so moved that many people are coming together and they're not protesting, they're just together to pray. Yeah. You know, so first of all, there is that immediate effect. Of course, I think we can't also overlook the spiritual effect that we have when we bring our Lord into out the streets of our city and we ask him to bless it and we ask him to remain with us. With not just ourselves in the church, but with all of us, you know, our whole community. And I think that that's very powerful, and I think that we will never fully understand exactly what a grace that brings to until eternity, and then it'll all be revealed. But I don't think we can fully. I think we underestimate what grace that can have. And finally, of course, it's just bringing that many people together to celebrate such an important belief has an effect in itself on each person there, you know, and that's evangelization too, because we've constantly got to be evangelized ourselves. You know, we constantly have to keep building our own faith, growing closer to Christ. So again, it has that impact. So, in fact, I would say it's one of the most evangelistic things that we do.
Yeah. So with the Walk with Christ this weekend, of course, it's this Sunday, and I ask this question because I actually have legitimately forgotten. I probably should know, but I have legitimately forgotten where it starts and what time it starts. So can you let us know what that is?
I certainly can. It starts at St. Patrick's Church Hill, and there's many wonderful historical reasons for that, one of the most important being that this was the place where the Eucharist was reserved back when we weren't able to have a priest to celebrate Mass here in Australia back in colonial times. And there was a home there where our Lord was reserved there for much time, and it was just lay people who were able to adore him there. And that's where the then church was built. So we'll start at St. Patrick's Church Hill. That's near Wynyard Station. We'll assemble from sort of about 2 o'clock onwards. The actual procession starts at 2:30 on the dot, and then makes its way through town across to St. Mary's Cathedral, where we will finish with benediction at the cathedral forecourt, so out the front.
Okay, and wonderful.
And the whole thing should be over by about 4:30.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kathy, for joining me and for speaking about the Eucharist, because it is such an important element in our efforts of evangelization for the church. And
absolutely.
I hope to see you maybe amongst the many crowds this
yes,
weekend.
Well, I'll have a blue t-shirt on that says "Ask Me" plastered across the front. So,
it'll be very hard to avoid you then.
That's it. Well, it's been a pleasure, Luke, and thank you so much for talking to us.
No worries.
I hope to see many of you there.
Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless. Bye bye.
That was Kathy Kennedy speaking on adoration and evangelization. For more information on the Walk with Christ and the efforts of evangelization in the Archdiocese of Sydney, visit credosydney.org. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.